From Isaiah chapter 25 verses 4 through 9. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 19, verses 5 through 9. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the people who have preserved it for us. Let our hearts be ready. Soften our hearts so that we can hear what you are saying to us through the Bible and through the words of Dana. Amen.
Six more sleeps, kids. Six more sleeps. And as I think about what it would be like if I actually knew when Jesus was coming, and I knew it was only six more days, I know there'd be a lot of different thoughts on my mind. Some worries, worrying about people who might not be ready. There would have to be somewhere in there the thought of celebration. Really. Just go ahead and think about something that bugged you this last week. Just anything. Something maybe. Think about a terrible headline in the news. Think about anything, a word somebody said that got under your skin. Try to make it matter 6 days from now if Jesus comes back in 6 days. It would be a relief and a joy. There would be no more billions of people in harsh poverty, no more ICU, no more waiting to settle a lawsuit. There would be so many heartaches that would be instantly healed. It's something to celebrate. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of celebration. And the scriptures we have here are scriptures that represent a theme in the Bible. This theme of the wedding feast. Jesus talked about it. When he was talking about what he was there doing while he was going about healing people and raising the dead even, he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. It's like a wedding feast. And you're invited. He talks about people that are invited but didn't come. Well, here we see other scriptures in the Old Testament and at the end of the Bible, prophetic scriptures about the second coming of Christ that talk about this wedding feast that Jesus was talking about. And in Revelation chapter 9, we hear that it's loud. Heaven is loud. I love, if you want to hear about heaven being loud, you open the book of Revelation. Heaven is just loud in that book. And there's the sound of a great multitude of voices sounding like a thunderous waterfall or a clap of lightning and thunder, right? Iowa had great lightning storms. And one of the favorite hobbies out there. I love living places with interesting weather. I think it's great that we got 4 feet of snow on the ground. Can't wait for the next four. This is why winter is great. Cold weather without snow is just a waste of temperature. So anyway, it was a good lightning storm in Iowa. And we went out on the porch and the rain's coming down in sheets. And the clouds sometimes look like a strobe light, just lit up with all this lightning. And the fun thing to do in a lightning storm is see the lightning and then count. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 3 miles away. Well, I got two stories from my kids today, one from Caleb and one from Madeline. The Madeline one has permission, but this Caleb one, I'm just going to have to call and ask forgiveness because I didn't clear this one with him. But he's out there on the porch. I'd gone back inside. And suddenly this lightning bolt just smashed down and it looked like it hit the neighbor's cat. I mean, it was just so close. There was no counting. It was bam and this explosion. And he came in the house with a scream that was so wild and so frenzied, it seemed like he was never going to take a breath of air. Just, yeah, I tell you, it caught him off guard. Lightning can be loud. So this multitude we're hearing about in the 19th chapter of Revelation is loud. You know when a jet takes off on the runway, it's 130 decibels? Well, did you know that Autzen Stadium was recorded at 127 decibels? And that's only the fifth loudest stadium in the United States. Husky Stadium, 133 decibels, that's number three. Number one was Kansas City, 142 decibels. Instant hearing damage. I was thinking, I'm glad there was clapping in church today. The people that are, geeks with church statistics say that growing churches are 90% more likely to have clapping in them. So thank you for clapping. I think that's good. Yeah, right. I think it's good. Because heaven is loud and there's this shouting and rejoicing that God reigns. God reigns. You and I have been privileged to live in a country with checks and balances and government that's trying to help us most of the time, most of us most of the time. We haven't lived in a country where the military has taken over and shot civilians while they're demonstrating. You know, that hasn't been our experience. But a lot of people in the world and a lot of centuries in history, that was the way they lived and the way they died. And for them to gather together in a group of billions and say, hallelujah, now God is reigning, that's something to shout about. If you think a good tackle is worth shouting about, wait till you see the righteousness of God taking over the whole world. That's good. I have a little theory, though, in my head that there's another sound that happens in heaven. And I feel like there's biblical evidence for this, but I'm just going to go ahead and put this theory out there. And use your imagination with me for a moment. Imagine the great white throne judgment has happened. Revelation talks about a great white throne, big authority and purity, pure and authoritative. And everybody has been judged for all their deeds in front of the great white throne. And we're all standing by the billions outside of the holy city. There's the pearly gates, and the smell of the banquet is just blowing, like when you walk by a food truck. I didn't think I was hungry, but oh, that smells good. You can't even describe the smell of the drinks and the food that's in there. It's just wonderful, and you're standing outside not sure what's going to happen, wondering if your theology was right. Well, maybe there's a purgatory. I was taught that there wasn't, but maybe the Catholics are right. Maybe I don't get to eat right now. Maybe I have to be in the sauna for a few hundred years. Who knows? You wonder. You're not sure if your theology was right. And then Jesus stands up. And I think that we're made to understand faces really clearly. And when you see somebody's eyes and their face, you know if you're in trouble or if you're not. And imagine the face of Jesus turning to you and you just knowing before he says anything that you're about to walk through the door. I feel like there's a sound that comes that's the sound of reconciliation, the sound of relief. 2 years ago, when Madeline came to visit me, all the kids came at once and they sat right here in the front of the church and watched me get installed. One of the highlights of my life. When Madeline came, you know, I was worried because it's not so easy to get from Iowa to Alaska. If you've tried it, right? And she had some things go wrong on the way here and she was really rattled. She was emotional. It was an emotional time in all of our lives, right? I saw the plane land, seaplanes. She brought seaplanes in. I saw her get off the plane. And I was wondering when she would notice that I was standing there. And I waved and she saw me and I saw her face light up. And then as she got closer, she just sort of ran the last couple steps and threw her arm around my neck. And she made this little sound, this little popping sound. It's the sound you make when you're trying not to cry and you fail. Boop. And she started to cry and put her head on my shoulder. And I said, I'm so glad that you're here. And she said, I am too. Now imagine billions of people making that sound all at once. Some of the ways that I wasted my time this week was to watch YouTube videos about, I do it every week, about surprise reunions. You know, soldier appears to kid in classroom. Surprise. And, you know, all these, there's all these sounds in these surprise reunions. Sometimes muffled weeping. Sometimes just screams, shouts, celebrations. Imagine billions of people making that sound. Next to you is a kid that picked garbage in the dumps in Cairo and somebody else who died while they were being murdered. Somebody who died as a young prostitute because the life was so hard and the abuse was so harsh. But she died with the hope that God would save her. A mother who buried one son and visited the other in the penitentiary because one brother killed the other. There's so many stories through so many centuries. And if you can just imagine, I think heaven is loud from that kind of sound too. And the feast we're coming to is a feast that has that feeling of relief when you're kind of wrung out. The huge emotional wave has hit you and you're past it and you're in this state of great peace and enjoyment and happiness. Hallelujah, God reigns. The feast is a loud feast. It's also a surprise party. The feast at the end of the age is a surprise party. My mom used to misquote this poem that I just love. I can't misquote it quite as well as she did, but she told a great story. She said, I had a dream last night and I dreamt I went to heaven and there are all these people there from the wrong kind of church and I looked and they were just terrible people and then they were all staring at me because they couldn't believe that I was there. Here's how the poem actually reads. It's called Surprise in Heaven. I dreamt death came the other night and heaven's gate swung wide. An angel with a halo bright ushered me inside. And there to my astonishment stood folks I'd judged and labeled as quite unfit, of little worth, and spiritually disabled. Indignant words rose to my lips, but never were set free, for every face showed stunned surprise. Not one expected me. Yeah. Heaven is a surprise party. We see little hints of it in the scriptures we read today. We see it in Jesus' conversations about the wedding feast too. In Isaiah, you see that God is sheltering the poor and taking care of the needy. In Revelation, both great and small, they're all singing and making this noise. Our God reigns. Jesus talked about a wedding feast that a king had made, and he said, go invite people. Just go invite people. Now, these feasts are expensive. Do you want to hear the top five most expensive parties in the world? I bet you do. All right, number five, the Sultan of Brunei. This is a little country between the Philippines and Indonesia. You probably know how to pronounce it, but This sultan threw a $27 million party and invited 10,000 guests. And when the wine was flowing freely, he said, pay raise to all the civil servants. First pay raise in 20 years. Maybe because the parties cost $27 million. But pay raise. Okay, number four was the wedding of a steel magnate, like a real big steel tycoon in the nation of India. $60 million wedding. Then came Prince William and Kate Middleton's wedding, viewed by 1.9 billion people, a $70 million wedding. Lots of weddings. Wedding feast is what we're headed to. People will spend a lot of money on weddings. My daughter's not going to get $70 million out of me. It's not going to happen. Okay, so, and then way back in 81, there was a Sikh who threw a much more humble wedding. It was only $45 million, but in today's money, it's $100 million. That's the second most expensive. The most expensive party was the inauguration of an American president, and it was a $160 million party. Don't know if there were pay raises given in the middle of that party, but $160 million. Well, interestingly enough, you know, this feast that Jesus talks about is both inauguration and wedding. Those seem to be the reasons to spend the big bucks. So when a great leader invites you to a wedding, it's a big deal. There's going to be coconut shrimp, you know. And the people said to the king, oh, that, you know, there's toast in the toaster. It's going to come out anytime. I'm sorry, I can't go. Just lame excuses. So the king was angry and he said, get out there and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind. It's a surprise party. Jesus made a point when he was teaching, people don't invite folks like that to feasts. They invite someone who can invite them to their feast. It's a surprise party because it's going to be filled with people that you didn't think much of. Instead of the who's who, it'll be the who's not who. A name tag that says, hello, my name is nobody important when it comes to name dropping. All these people that you might not have expected. Jesus said, many who are last will be first, and many who are first will be last. It's a surprise party because it's based on the grace of God. A wonderful, wonderful thing. Finally, this party that is waiting for us at the end of the age, that is the consummation of history, is a party that is occasioned on love, just like these $70 million weddings. The reason for the feast is love. There was a really dear man in my first church. He was one of the people that started the firewood ministry in Oregon that inspired our firewood ministry that is really doing great things right now. He spoke up in a Sunday school class. You could tell it was a question that he was a little scared to ask. He said, Pastor, how come the Bible just doesn't go right out and say, I love you? And you know, I love having an answer for everything. I love being the smart pastor and saying, oh, you know, Deuteronomy 6, 12, 42, 31, you know, I got you covered, don't worry. I love having an answer for things, but I was kind of stunned and shocked. You know, I could tell you a theology and I can explain that God loves you and I'm about to do that. But here was a man who just wanted to hear, I love you from God. God loves you. There's a big celebration, a big celebration that isn't just about God. It's about the reunion of you and God face to face. Everything you've been through in your life, it's all going to be reconciled. There's going to be a great celebration. It's no accident that the Lord uses the metaphors of parent and child and spouse, husband and wife. You're God's son, you're God's wife. It's a wedding feast. The Lord is wildly filled with love for you. And the occasion that ends all history is an occasion of love, a wedding banquet. You've probably felt love before. Sometimes it's hard to define. You say, how do I know if God loves me? You might go through a time like this friend of mine where you think, why can't I just hear In really plain English, fill in your name. God loves you. But you've felt love before. I remember going to outdoor school as a sixth grader, walking into the cabin and thinking, these kids are going to eat me. You know, all these guys in this cabin, they're not going to like me. This is going to be miserable. And then we played Capture the Flag, my first game of Capture the Flag. It's like I'd gone to the moon. It was like heaven. What is this game? This is running through the woods. It was so fun. And we caught salamanders and swam in the lake. And as the bus rolled away from camp, all those guys that I thought were going to hate me, they laughed at my jokes. And there's this feeling, this little bit of tension that crawls into your throat. You leave something like that, you know it'll never, ever happen again. There'll never be another sixth grade outdoor school. You've had moments like that. Parting is such sweet sorrow. You know you love somebody when it hurts to say goodbye. You know there's love when you see the granddaughter crying at grandpa's funeral. Just can't be consoled. Everybody else can hold back their emotions, but she can't. That's love. And the end of the world ends with love, with a great banquet. Friends, I want you to know, most of all, that you're invited. It's so easy to let the toast in the toaster or any number of simple, mundane things become more important moment by moment. But if there was only 6 days left, you would start to feel excited about the love that's waiting for you at the end of the age. May God bless you.